It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As part of our ongoing conversations about housing insecurity in Wisconsin, we learn how the mayors of Wisconsin's biggest cities, Milwaukee and Madison, are prioritizing this issue. And we begin this discussion with the mayor of Madison as we explore how communities across the state address homelessness. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. It's good to be here.
The city of Madison is partnering with the Salvation Army of Dane County on a $50 million project to support families experiencing homelessness. How does the project plan to serve the Madison community?
Well, actually, Kate, we, during the pandemic, really transformed the way that we are approaching homelessness here in Madison. Previously, and I'm very grateful to them, we had been essentially warehousing homeless people in church basements. And in the pandemic, that became completely untenable. So we are shifting to a situation where we will have purpose-built shelters that will serve people experiencing homelessness in our community. And we're actually building two of them. So one is the Salvation Army shelter, which you referenced, which will serve about 35 families, have some about maybe 20 additional rooms for overnight emergency shelter, and house up to 150 women experiencing homelessness in our community. At the same time, we're also moving forward with our partner Porchlight to construct a purpose-built shelter that will primarily serve single men in our community. And both of these, I think, are going to be a real improvement on the current situation. And we're also, we also have a temporary family shelter, and we are trying to build more low-income housing or low-cost housing to help folks move out of homelessness. But there's two really significant shelter projects underway right now.
When you say purpose-built shelter, what do you mean by that? What does the word purpose mean?
Well, I think the distinction is that homeless shelters in many cities, including Madison, have been repurposed buildings. So, for example, the current women and family shelter that's operated by the Salvation Army is a, it used to be a school. Mm-hmm. And so it obviously wasn't built to be a shelter. They have made it work. It's not designed with shelter in mind. It's not designed through a trauma-informed lens. It doesn't have all of the spaces and services that you would want if you were building a shelter from scratch. So when I say purpose-built, I mean that the building is designed to provide shelter to folks who need it, and it's not retrofitted from something else.
In the situation with the Salvation Army, which is a Christian charity, how do you view public-private partnerships to solve problems related to housing insecurity in your city?
I think public-private partnerships have been essential in Madison and, frankly, I think in most cities. Most cities don't run or operate their own shelters or homeless services. All the cities I'm aware of contract that service out or help to pay a private provider to provide that service. So here in Madison, historically, the Salvation Army has provided shelter services for women and families, and Porchlight has provided shelter services for single men. In addition, Catholic Charities has partnered with the city and county on the Beacon Day Services Center, which is not a shelter, but provides services during the day to people experiencing homelessness. So we really couldn't do this work without partnerships. Mm. The city isn't equipped to run these shelters ourselves, nor do we pay the full budget for them. So it really does require the entire community coming together to take care of those who are most in need.
We're talking with Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway about efforts to address housing insecurity in Madison and the greater area. You can join in with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Mayor, you bring up Porch Light and the Beacon. Madison has day shelters and emergency overnight shelters. And the organizers of the Porch Light shelter and the Beacon say more people are experiencing homelessness. So how is the city government supporting homeless shelters? What is the work that is underway?
Well, we are taking the lead on the funding for the new shelter that will serve primarily serve single men and will be operated by Porch Light. We've secured funding from every level of government for that and are working to find a path towards sustainable operating funding in the future, which, again, will not be solely from government. It will need to involve the private sector as well. But I think that the ultimate answer here, Kate, is to keep people from being forced into homelessness. Mm. And that leads us back to the question of housing security and providing enough affordable housing in our community. Over the first 4 years that I was mayor, we more than doubled the affordable housing fund here in Madison, and we're projecting over the next 6 years to increase it by another 60%. And that's important because it does require government participation to produce affordable housing in almost every case. So we've been very successful at leveraging our funding to then leverage state and federal funding, often county funding as well, to create affordable housing in our community. But we really do need to create more housing that is affordable to folks at the lowest end of the income spectrum so that they don't get pushed into homelessness. And, you know, again, prevention is really the key here to keeping our population of folks experiencing homelessness smaller and ideally shrinking, right? We want people to be moving into housing out of homelessness.
And we're going to talk more about affordable housing and what is on the horizon. Let's take a call here. Paul in Madison. Paul, go ahead.
Hi there. I work with a tenant advocacy group here in town. And I used to, I knew about Porch Light and I thought it was great what they were doing. But we've started getting an influx of reports that they've got some really bad conditions in their units, like roaches, mice, with no real repairs being done. They call the police on their tenants and get them end up in jail. And they get a lot of our city funds. So I was just wondering if there would be like any interest in performing an audit on the organization to see where all this money is actually going, if it's not going to the units.
Mayor Rhodes Conway, go ahead.
Well, I'm not sure what you're referring to, because the contracts we have with Porch Light are to operate the homeless shelter, not to operate housing units. So we do keep very close tabs on the funds that we spend to operate the shelters, and staff are regularly out there. And we work very closely with frankly, all of the providers that work in the continuum of care to work on homelessness in this community. But we also, of course, have a full building inspection department whose job it is to keep track of the quality of housing in Madison. And so anyone who has any bad experience in a housing situation should absolutely call building inspection and have them come out and make sure that where they're living is actually habitable. We also, by the way, have protections for folks against being retaliated by their landlords if they do call building inspections.
I just want to jump in here. I recently visited Porch Light Men's Emergency Shelter in Madison. I spoke with the drop-in manager, Ferris, who said the facility may see 300 people in one night, even though the building has a capacity for 150 people. Here's Ferris.
We'll have to discuss with the city whether we'll have to set a cap limit. But even if we set a cap limit, during wintertime especially, still going to let anyone in and just make room whenever we can.
What are your thoughts on setting capacity limits at shelters during winter?
Well, historically in Madison, as you heard in the clip, we have not set capacity limits, particularly on the coldest days. We've provided shelter to anyone who needs it. And, you know, as you pointed out earlier, we do have growing numbers of people experiencing homelessness in our community and, frankly, across the country. Which presents a significant challenge, I think, for every city. And again, that's something that we're trying to address both by providing purpose-built shelter which will have more capacity than any shelter in Madison has ever had, but also by providing housing so that we can both prevent people from becoming homeless in the first place, but also we can help folks who are ready to move out of homelessness to secure permanent housing.
Satya Rhodes Conway, mayor of Madison, as we discuss efforts to reduce homelessness in the capital city. Call in to field a question. You can share your perspective at any point, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We examine homelessness and housing inequality in Madison with Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway as organizations prepare for winter cold and an increased need for sheltering. Call in with a question. Share what's on your mind. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mayor, turning to rent, fair market rent prices in Madison are very high compared to the national average. That's according to an analysis by rentdata.org, looking at figures from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD. How are you working to keep rent affordable in Madison?
Because of limitations under state law, there's no direct influence that city government can have on rent prices. So our sole tool to moderate increases in rent is to incentivize the production of more housing. As we produce more rental units, there's a shift away from renters competing for units to landlords competing for tenants, which should moderate rent prices. But for, I would venture, a decade, if not more, Madison has underproduced housing compared to our population growth. So we have a deficit of somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 rental units, and we need to be building about 2,000 units of housing every year to just keep up with our population growth. So the problem that we're experiencing now is because of years of inaction before I came into office. When I came into office, we prioritized housing construction right from the get-go. And again, we've been investing a significant amount of money in creating affordable housing. Since the creation of the Affordable Housing Fund, which was in 2015, we have produced over 1,400 units of affordable housing. We have about 750 more under construction or in the planning and design stage. Of course, there's other housing being built without city support, but that's just what our housing fund has supported. So we're making progress, but there's a long way to go.
State lawmakers this year approved $100 million in funding for loans to support converting vacant commercial buildings into workforce or senior housing units. Does Madison plan to encourage developers to apply for this loan program?
We certainly are interested in any source of funding that can help create housing in our community. I think that there's a variability in how difficult it is to convert commercial buildings to housing. Certainly happy that there is money available at the state level and welcome that support. And we certainly are looking forward to any proposals that might come forward under that program. I think some commercial buildings are going to be easier than others to convert to housing. But frankly, we need a lot of housing here in Madison. Mm-hmm. Our population is now 286,000, which represents significant growth. So we really do need to produce really all sorts of housing, but particularly affordable housing.
You mentioned building being the key tool here, but what about zoning? What could be done to add multifamily housing? How is Madison looking at zoning changes?
Well, Madison, under my administration, has made several significant changes to zoning that will allow the production of more housing by right and allow more density of housing in certain areas of town. And when I say we need to produce housing, that's exactly what I mean. We need to, at the local government level, make it easier to build housing. And that can be through zoning, it can be through planning, it can be through our land use approval process, it can be through what we fund and the various pots of money we can use to fund housing. It can be through local government itself producing housing through our community development authority. It can be through supporting the rehab of existing affordable housing. All of these are things that we're doing.
What about landlords? What is their role in addressing housing insecurity for tenants who face the possibility of eviction? What policies and programs speak to this?
Well, unfortunately, some years ago, the state legislature completely preempted all of Madison's tenant protections. We had the most robust tenant protections in the state, and they were stripped away by the state legislature. So we don't have much ability to promote policies or to regulate landlords with respect to tenant protections. And we rely basically on the goodness of their hearts to not evict people and to treat people humanely, which obviously is not something that you can always rely on. So I do think that landlords ought to be generous and work with tenants to try and resolve any differences or financial issues before they move to eviction. But unfortunately, that doesn't always happen.
We're examining the risks of homelessness with Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway. You can join in with your questions along the way. Share your comments, 800-642-1234. Mayor, last month, one of our producers visited the Beacon Day Center in Madison and had an emotional conversation with Gwen. Gwen had said they applied for the Housing Choice Voucher program. They weren't accepted. Here's Gwen talking about their financial challenges.
My credit's bad, thanks to my sister. And then I had a situation with my daughter. And if I start crying, don't mind me. Because I've been hurt both ways. I can't even get credit. I can't even get credit cards. I'm trying to help my boyfriend out, but he's not finding a job. And I am the only one with an income. And my $997 a month does not cut it for two people.
$997 a month for two people. Gwen talked about struggling to access government assistance, some assistance only available by lottery. What resources does Madison provide people to help them applying for housing assistance?
Well, here in Madison, we have a whole continuum of care that is designed to help people exit homelessness and to access the resources that they need to do so. But I'm not going to lie, there are not sufficient resources in our community or frankly anywhere in this country. And the vouchers that you refer to, those are federal vouchers. That's something that the federal government could do today, is increase the availability of housing vouchers and the funding that comes through our local communities to support people who are housing insecure. But for decades, there has been insufficient funding coming from the federal government to support people who are housing insecure or experiencing homelessness. It's one of the least funded areas from the federal government. And it's very, very frustrating when you hear stories like that. I will say, Kate, the other factor in this, of course, is the income side. And, you know, as you know, the minimum wage in Wisconsin and across the country hasn't gone up in a very long time. Mm-hmm. Another way to address housing insecurity is to raise the minimum wage, to raise wages across the board, and give people more financial security so they can afford housing.
Tomas in Madison wonders, does the community land trust model hold any possibility for addressing this issue?
That's a great question. I'm a big fan of community land trust in general, and we do have a land trust here in Madison. But the land trust model is really designed for people who are moving into ownership of housing, not for people who are moving out of homelessness. And it's a great solution for affordable ownership, and I would love to see it grow here in Madison. But it's probably not the best fit for addressing homelessness.
In our last moments together, do you feel Madison is on track with building enough affordable housing based on the rate of growth of the city?
We are certainly doing our best to produce as much housing as we can to dig out of the deficit that we were, that we inherited, and to keep up with population growth. And, you know, it is frustrating because often new housing developments are opposed by neighbors, and that makes it more difficult to create housing. But we certainly are doing what we can to make it easier from the local government point of view, and to provide funds for affordable housing. I'm confident that we can get there.
Mayor, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Kate. It's always a pleasure.
Satya Rhodes Conway, mayor of Madison. We continue this conversation ahead on housing insecurity with Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. Call in at any point, 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As part of ongoing conversations about housing insecurity in Wisconsin, we learn about how communities across the state are working on this issue, and we dive into efforts now in our state's largest city. Call in with the question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Cavalier Johnson is mayor of Milwaukee. Mayor Johnson, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much, Kate. I'm happy to join you again.
Yes, last year, a single-day survey estimated more than 800 people were experiencing homelessness in Milwaukee County. What initiatives are you pursuing to address housing needs?
Sure. So in Milwaukee, we are very proud of our continuum of care and our work to make sure that we're addressing the issue of housing first. You know, a lot of people who experience homelessness may have some other issues in their life that we've come to find out that we're better able to address if they have housing first. And so we've built over the course of the past number of years, a number of units to house people who may find themselves unhoused or unsheltered here in Milwaukee. So we continue on with that and the other efforts in our continuum of care network.
In the housing first model, what have you seen? What have the experiences been like? Because Milwaukee's Housing First programs have been in place for a while, what are the takeaways?
Sure. Again, I think the biggest takeaway is what we have found out that, you know, when folks have issues, when they're prone to being unsheltered, when they've got issues such as AODA issues and the like, if you pair housing with them first, it puts them in a better position to be able to overcome those challenges that they have and not go back into a situation where they find themselves to be unhoused in our community. So that's something that we take a lot of pride in, and we work collaboratively. Folks hear me talk constantly about the need to partner and using partnerships as a way forward to attack or to address, rather, major issues we have in our community. That certainly is one, and that's one that we're really, really proud of.
With that partnership, who are the people involved? Who are the stakeholders here to make this housing happen?
Sure. So we work with a number of nonprofit organizations. Of course, the city of Milwaukee is involved. Our CDGA, Community Grants Administration's office is the lead on that. We work with Milwaukee County as well in order to make sure, again, that we have opportunities and places in place in use for folks in our community who may experience homelessness, even for a brief period of time in our community.
In coordinating in state and nonprofits, other aspects outside of government, what would you say to other communities who wish to adopt a similar type of housing program to support people experiencing homeless? What is your advice to other communities?
Our advice, my advice to other communities would be to follow along with what we have laid out in Milwaukee and what we've come to find to be a success. In fact, you know, we've been visited in Milwaukee, not just on the issue of homelessness, but other issues, the success that we're seeing downtown in terms of having businesses move in, especially in light of the pandemic and all that. We've been visited by a number of communities from across the United States. Just within the past month or two, we had Salt Lake City, contingent from Salt Lake City here. We had over 100 people, I believe, from Portland that were here. Last year, we had Oklahoma City and others who have visited us to learn about what we're doing. And a number of these cities are experiencing a crisis of homelessness. And they have come and they've talked to me and others on the ground here in Milwaukee about what it is that we are doing, what it is that we have done to address the issue of homelessness. And I'm, you know, fast to tell them that, hey, you know, we have concentrated our efforts, again, over years to work to make sure that we're focused on housing first to address the issue.
The Eviction Lab at Princeton University estimates more than 13,000 evictions have been filed in Milwaukee County this year. What is your administration doing on this front to reduce eviction rates?
Sure. So especially during the pandemic, we have worked very, very closely with a number of partners on the ground. The state of Wisconsin had done this. Milwaukee County had done this. The city of Milwaukee had done this as well. Our partner was the Social Development Commission, where we worked to make sure that individuals who would be most likely to face eviction had an opportunity to stay in their homes. And that was an important part of getting through COVID for all of us. Mm-hmm. And so we worked to make sure that we established a program that we called MRAP, the Milwaukee Rental Assistance Program, to keep people in their homes and using federal ARPA dollars to do just that. In addition to that, before the pandemic happened, we had worked to establish a program to make sure that people who were indigent had an opportunity to be represented when they went to eviction proceedings in courthouses. And the reason for that being is that many times a landlord in an eviction proceeding is represented by an attorney. But there are people who are impoverished that don't have that access. And so we wanted to work to make sure that those folks had an opportunity to be represented as well. And many times it ended up that they either had extensions or were able to stay in their homes, which is a good thing. So we don't have more people on the street and we don't have more people who are unhoused in our community.
But as federal dollars from the pandemic sunset, what happens to programs like MRAP, the rental assistance program, to ensure that your evictions don't just bounce back to where they were?
Sure. So it's not just those programs. We obviously need more housing in Milwaukee. There was just some news just yesterday about apartments, new apartments coming, 210 of them, market rate units coming to the Deer District, which I think is great. But we also need to focus on, and we've been focused in my administration, to make sure that we're growing the number of affordable housing in Milwaukee as well. And so when you look at our Homes MKE program that'll last much farther than the rental assistance program, we're taking city-owned, tax-foreclosed properties. We're pumping money into those properties, and then we'll turn around and sell those homes at affordable rates for people right here in our community who need affordable housing. We're working with some of our other partners on a program that I've dubbed Raise and Revive in the 2024 budget, where we're taking down dilapidated properties, blighted properties in Milwaukee. We're doubling our capacity to do that. And then we'll work with some of our nonprofit partners to build more affordable housing on those lots as well. So we're doing a number of things as it relates to the issue of housing in Milwaukee. But this is the thing that I think is important to note as well. Mm-hmm. In this city, we've got a very, very strong economy, and we're working to bring in more good jobs. You've seen that. That's been evident. And I've talked about that a little bit with some of the things that other communities across the country are looking to learn from us in Milwaukee. And if we have a stronger economy with more good jobs that I'm working to bring to the city, then we'll be in a position where we see even fewer evictions as well.
Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson with us as we look at efforts to address housing insecurity and homelessness. You can join in the conversation. Call in with a question. Share your insights, 800-642-1234. One of our producers recently visited the McCannon Brown Homeless Sanctuary in Milwaukee, and let's listen to Sister McCannon Brown talking about how the public views homeless people.
They believe that all homeless people are mentally ill. Many times they think that all homeless people are criminals or going to be criminals. There's such a challenge in asking people to understand these are mothers, fathers, uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters. These are who we are.
Mayor, are Milwaukee leaders seeking to reduce the stigma surrounding homelessness?
Oh, you know, absolutely. I was just reviewing some information about homelessness in Milwaukee County. And some of that data shows that, you know, certainly there are single individuals, both male and female, who find themselves homeless. But it's not just single individuals. Sometimes there are families that are homeless. Sometimes there are youth and unaccompanied youth who are homeless as well. So certainly I recognize, and I think people in Milwaukee, some people in our community as well, recognize the fact that this is, does not affect just individuals who have a mental disorder or have some personal demons that they may be working to challenge in terms of AODA issues. Homelessness can affect anybody at any time. And I think it's important for us to recognize that, to realize that, and make sure we have the infrastructure in place to assist families and individuals that need the services.
Do you find Milwaukee's existing shelters have adequate support from city government to provide that dignity in care?
Yeah, well, look, in Milwaukee, as we approach the winter months, I know we're unseasonably warm for November right now. There's a number of places across the city of Milwaukee, literally on you know, all sides of town, that will work to make sure that individuals who experience homelessness or need a warm place to go during the cold season, the winter months that are coming up, they're available, they're free, and there are opportunities for people to get the services that they need right here in our community. Again, not just downtown, but in neighborhoods all across the city of Milwaukee.
Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson explaining the latest efforts to reduce the number of people experiencing homelessness in our state's largest city. Be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. You can share your views. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Hundreds of people in Milwaukee County experience homelessness according to the point-in-time annual census on a single night in January last year. We examine the priorities of the city to reduce the number of unsheltered people with Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson here. And you can call in with a question, share your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mayor, we heard from John in Cedarburg, called in, and John would like to know how people qualify for Habitat for Humanity homes or possibly tiny homes in this effort to rehouse.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I appreciate it. For Habitat for Humanity, I believe they have a whole process they work through. I believe there's a sweat equity program that they have. You got to work with other individuals who are building their homes in neighborhoods across Milwaukee. I mean, we work with them every single year to build new homes and affordable homes on vacant lots in the city of Milwaukee. And as I mentioned earlier, with my Raise and Revive program, I hope we'll be in a position to work with them even further to deepen that relationship to build more affordable housing for people in Milwaukee. In terms of tiny homes, that's an initiative that we've talked about in Milwaukee for the past number of years, particularly as it relates to veterans who may be experiencing homelessness. And that's something that we're actively working on right now, to build a tiny home village in the city of Milwaukee for that population.
Turning to youth now, what initiatives are you pursuing to ensure homeless kids and teens in Milwaukee are able to secure housing?
Sure. And thank you for asking that question. As a matter of fact, my administration has worked very, very closely with the federal government. And just a short number of weeks ago, was awarded a $3 million grant that will be working with some of our nonprofit partners, particularly those at Pathways, to make sure that these youth, these unaccompanied youth who experience homelessness, who go from place to place and sleep on couches at locations across the community, that they have the resources necessary to end the cycle of homelessness that they're experiencing. So we're actively working on that and have successfully been able to pull down federal funding to address that exact issue.
What is the role of Milwaukee Public Schools in working on this issue?
So Milwaukee Public Schools works very diligently with us. In fact, I mentioned our continuum of care effort, and Milwaukee Public Schools has a representative as well on our continuum of care to address the issue of homelessness in Milwaukee. And MPS actually follows the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act definition. So it's a little more broader than the definition used by HUD on homelessness. And so they're very conscious of that, considering that it's the largest school district in the state and is the entity responsible for educating the largest number of kids in the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, many of those kids experience some economic challenges at home. So MPS is fully aware of this and works to make sure, again, with our own initiatives via the continuum of care, that they're assisting young people who attend MPS schools so they have a place to stay.
Milwaukee's Department of City Development is pursuing this new effort to grow housing and update the city's zoning codes. What is your vision for this project?
My vision for this project is, I think, pretty ambitious. I've not been shy about my desire to see Milwaukee grow. I think Milwaukee has to grow. It should grow. I don't want Milwaukee to simply be flyover country. And in order for Milwaukee not to be flyover country, we've got to work to make sure that we're leading and that we're on the cutting edge and that we're creating more space to attract new people who will be residents of Milwaukee, but also having the housing in place to retain the people that we have here, including having housing in place to retain people as they age in place. And so as we look for opportunities to grow Milwaukee, you know, I want to search out ways to make sure that when we're adding more protected bike lanes throughout the city of Milwaukee, or we're working with our partners over at Milwaukee County to have bus rapid transit in our community, that along those transit corridors, we're able to have higher density developments so people can have that access to transit to get from school to work to the drugstore or whatever their needs may be, entertainment and the like. I want to make sure as well that when a family has someone who is growing older, that there's an opportunity for them to have a place in Milwaukee where that senior is able to age in place along with family. I want to make sure that, you know, Milwaukee is in a place where in the future, as the climate continues to change, and I mentioned that we're unseasonably warm for November, I want us to be ready for the people who will move to Milwaukee because they're refugees from other places across the United States that may be trying to get away from some of the climate disasters, whether it's intensifying hurricanes in the southeast, whether it's severe flooding in other places farther in the south, whether it's wildfires or mudslides out west. You know, people, I think, will look to places like Milwaukee that have fresh water, that are more insulated from some of the natural disasters that other parts of the country are prone to. So that's what Growing Milwaukee is all about. And I think it helps us to get on the path that I've laid out for growing population in Milwaukee and doing it in a fair and equitable way. So we have more housing of all types, market rate housing that I talked about earlier, but also more affordable housing in our community as well.
Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson with us as we look at housing insecurity and homelessness. You can join in, call with a question, 800-642-1234. Mayor, all of these initiatives that you lay out require dollars, as you're well aware, and the city of Milwaukee is expecting more funding in the future from sales tax collections and state aid payments. But the Wisconsin Policy Forum forecasts a budget gap could emerge in 2025 when federal pandemic aid ends. How is Milwaukee prioritizing housing among other budget needs?
Sure. And I think this is where your previous question about growing Milwaukee comes into place here. If, you know, we're having more housing types and more development is able to happen by right, that means we're in a position where we're able to grow the tax base. More development equals more growth in the tax base. And it also means more housing options and more housing opportunities for the people that live here in our community, and more affordable housing options for Milwaukeeans as well, those folks who live here, as well as the folks who will live here in the future as we seek to accomplish my goals for population growth here in the city. So, housing certainly is something that we have to be cognizant of. The Community Development Alliance, which is here, and Axe Housing, which is here, and so many other groups, even some of the ones that we mentioned before, such as Habitat for Humanity, some of our other nonprofit partners like VSCDC, we're working all together to address the issue of housing in Milwaukee and affordable housing at that, to make sure that people in this city have an opportunity to have a place to rest their head that works for the price that they or for the wages that they earn.
Do you worry at all that the budget can support your vision?
Yeah, well, you know, as we talk about growing Milwaukee, it's a zoning code update. So those properties that would go through and get permits for zoning, that actually generates revenue for Milwaukee when developers come and take out permits to build new places in Milwaukee. So that is a net positive. The places that they actually do build will then also generate additional dollars for Milwaukee. You know, that helps our bottom line as well. If you have more vibrancy, you have more concentrations of people, and they don't have to own a car because they've got access to, say, protected bike lanes, or is safer for them to walk. And that's the sort of environment that we're building in Milwaukee, or they got bus rapid transit. It puts them in a position where they're able to spend their dollars locally. That helps our bottom line, too, because we'll have a sales tax that captures those dollars as well.
Mayor Johnson, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate. Appreciate you.
Cavalier Johnson, mayor of Milwaukee. Earlier, we spoke with Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.